Radio Prague News.
A top social democrat has attacked businesses that pay low salaries. Czech economic growth in the second quarter outstripped expectations. And police say Andrej Babiš's family attempted to obfuscate the ownership structure of Stork's Nest. The Social Democrats' candidate for Prime Minister, current Foreign Minister Lubomir Zaorálek, says entrepreneurs who don't pay decent wages are incompetents and scoundrels. He told reporters on Wednesday that anyone who claimed their firm would go under if the minimum wage was increased was incapable of doing business in such a way as to provide a normal life for their employees and should quit. The Social Democrats are set to push for an increase in the monthly minimum wage from 11,000 crowns to 12,200 crowns at a cabinet meeting next week. The Czech economy experienced accelerated growth once again in the second quarter of this year, according to preliminary figures published on Wednesday by the Czech Statistics Office. Czech GDP expanded by 4.5% year-on-year in the second quarter, compared to a rate of 3.0% in the previous 3 months. Analysts say this was the fastest tempo of growth since the end of 2015. Lower growth of around 3.0% had been expected for the April to July period, and one analyst described the figures released on Wednesday as a pleasant shock. Members of Andrej Babiš's family attempted to obfuscate the ownership structure of the Stork's Nest Farm and Hotel, with a view to covering up links between it and the ANO leader, Czech radio reported on Wednesday, quoting the police. The station said this allegation was contained in the police's application to the Chamber of Deputies to lift the immunity of Mr. Babiš and a party colleague so they can be tried for the abuse of subsidies in connection with the Stork's Nest. The police say that the brother-in-law of the billionaire ANO chief created a number of fake contracts in a bid to hide the true owner of the farm, who prosecutors believe is Mr. Babiš himself. Stork's Nest, which previously belonged to Mr. Babiš's Agrofert, received around 50 million crowns in EU subsidies. President Miloš Zeman has collected enough signatures from Czech citizens to be able to run for office for a second time. His official campaign manager, his wife Ivana, said during a short briefing on Wednesday that he'd gathered just under 60,000 signatures. Mr. Zeman's drive to collect signatures from voters was launched at the end of April. He's become the second candidate to surpass the threshold of 50,000 signatures after businessman and songwriter Michal Horáček. Shooting on a new Czech film about Jan Palach is due to begin on Thursday. The movie will focus on the final months in the life of the student who set himself on fire in central Prague in January 1969 in protest at societal apathy in the wake of the Soviet invasion of the previous August. The film has been written by one-time Charter 77 spokesperson Eva Kanturkova and will be directed by Robert Sedláček. If all goes according to plan, it will receive its premiere on the 21st of August next year. That's the 50th anniversary of the arrival of Soviet tanks in the then Czechoslovakia. The weather forecast: there should be rain and sunny spells in the Czech Republic on Thursday, with temperatures of up to 28 degrees Celsius expected. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, a parliamentary commission tries to get to the bottom of police and prosecution leaks. Elderly memories are tapped for the future. And later, we look at a pending lithium boom in the Czech mountains. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Five people, including the Prime Minister and the High State Prosecutor in Olomouc, Ivan Istvan, testified before a parliamentary commission on Tuesday on the subject of leaks from police files. The commission was called to investigate following the leak of internal police information in tape conversations between a journalist and ANO leader Andrej Babiš. Jan Wellinger reports.
The leak of information from police files is a serious problem which needs to be stopped, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka made clear on Tuesday as he testified before a parliamentary commission looking into the matter. According to the Prime Minister, his appearance before the commission was brief and to the point. Here's what he had to say.
Above all, it's important that the police and state prosecutors' offices function properly. If the Commission finds that there need to be changes to existing legislation, it's obviously something that will be taken up by MPs in the lower house. The legislative process for this period is at an end.
The Prime Minister also discussed his powers regarding the General Inspectorate of the Security Services and steps the government has taken to deal with the problem and how BIS, or the State Security Service, has been used. After the testimony, the Prime Minister was followed by High State Prosecutor Ivo Istvan. He denied flat out that prosecutors were in any way responsible for information leaks, and he explained that control mechanisms were in place preventing that exact thing from happening.
I reject claims heard in the past that the State Prosecutor's Office was somehow the weak link. I informed MPs about the existing inner and outer controls over how information was treated. The Office for Personal Data Protection also did not find any mistakes.
Others who testified on Tuesday were two former police officers and the head of the government's national drug headquarters, Jakub Friedrich. They did not comment afterwards. The head of the commission, an MP for Topo 9, Martin Plíšek, did. He summed up Tuesday's proceedings after the session had wrapped up.
The testimonies by witnesses gave us a look into the problem of illegal leaks from police files. This time we saw the perspective of Olomouc's high state prosecutor. After hearing from representatives from the state prosecutor's office, the police and others, we will be able to reach a conclusion and to make recommendations for the future.
And the commission will now meet again next week when it will hear from Prague Chief State Prosecutor Lenka Bradáčová and the Justice Minister Robert Pelikán of ANO. It will make public its conclusions by September the 12th.
Jan Wellinger there casting his eye over those leaks. Now, a travelling exhibition called the National Chronicle is now on display at the Václav Havel Square beside Prague's National Theatre. It presents the outcomes of a project carried out by the Charter 77 Foundation along with the National Museum, in which seniors share their memories of the past in order to document and preserve the memory of the nation. Ruth Frankova has more.
A child's birth, a university graduation or family holidays, such events may seem insignificant in the context of the larger historical timeline. Nevertheless, they say a lot about their time and fill out the overall historical picture. The National Chronicle Project encourages seniors to share these personal memories and preserve them for future generations. Its aim is to become the largest archive of its kind of both smaller and larger personal events. Magdalena Sodomková is in charge of the project.
The project originated 5 years ago, in 2012, within the initiative Sensational Seniors, which was created to inspire seniors all around the Czech Republic. To this day, more than 100 senior clubs have joined the initiative, and the National Chronicle is one of the most popular projects. Our aim is to create an archive of personal memories which happen to be the backdrop of larger historical events. Anyone can share their memories and stories which may have just a personal significance. Nevertheless, they are important within the context of our country's history.
The National Chronicle Project aims to be as user-friendly as possible. All you need to do is go to its website, fill in a form and upload your memories in text, video or audio format. You can also upload a picture with a short comment. The memories are then published on the project's website, but they are also stored in the archive of the National Museum, where they can be used by historians in the future. Some of the hundreds of memories that have been collected in the National Chronicle to this day can be currently seen at the Václav Havel Square outside the National Theatre in Prague. Magdalena Sodomková again.
We wanted the public to see the outcomes of our initiative. What you can see are large format pictures by various photographers such as Bohdan Holomíček. Apart from famous figures such as director and actor Jiří Kačer, who supports our project, there are also common people such as our regular contributor or the senior club from České Budějovice, who have already published their own book of memories.
The exhibition National Chronicle will be on display in Prague until the end of August before moving on to Teplice, Prachatice and Brno. For more information, you can also visit the project's website, that is narodnikronika.cz.
Ruth Frankova reporting there. Now it's time for our regular feature, which is Marketplace. And lithium is very much the metal of the moment as one of the raw materials used for making batteries for electric cars and many other applications for renewable energy. And its high demand and soaring prices look like they could make the Czech Republic one of the main producers of the metal worldwide. European Metals is an Australian and UK-listed mining company which is pushing ahead with surveys aimed at renewing mining at Sinovets, a former mining town in the far north of the country near the German border. Keith Coughlan is the company's managing director. He explained on the phone from Australia how mining could start up within 3 years or so and how big the potential Czech reserves are.
It's a little over 6 million tonnes of LCE, which is lithium carbonate equivalent. It's contained in about 550 to 600 million tonnes of ore, but, you know, it's in fairly low concentration, so that translates to a little over 6 million tonnes lithium carbonate equivalent.
And in sort of like European or world comparisons, is this a lot?
Yeah, in terms of contained LCE, it's the largest deposit in Europe and about the fourth largest non-brine deposit in the world. And when I say non-brine, there are two ways that lithium usually occurs. One is in hard rock deposits and the other is in brine deposits. And brines are effectively old salt lakes, what they call salares, that are usually found at high altitudes. Most of them are in South America, and lithium is produced from those mainly by evaporation. So hard rock mining is the other way. And in terms of, so if we take the brines out of it, it's about the fourth largest known resource of lithium in the world.
And how are you going to get this stuff out? Is it going to be a sort of conventional mining operation? You dig a hole and you get it out? Or how are you going to approach this?
Well, it is a conventional mining operation, but it's an underground mine, not an open pit, which people may think of when you say dig a hole to get it out. So it's proposed to be an underground operation, building on the or extending the existing underground operations that are already there at Sinovec. So there's been a lot of mining in this area. They've mined tin there for in excess of 600 years. And there is over 20 kilometres of underground tunnels, adits and drives and things already in place. So it's an extension of the existing mine, an underground operation, and all the extraction will be done underground. So it's low impact. It's not digging a big hole that everyone can see.
And where are you at the moment? If I understand correctly, you've done a lot of boreholes, tests, etc. But where are you with as regards getting the permits, and when realistically might you be able to start operation?
Okay, so there are a lot of boreholes. There's been a lot of historic drilling into the deposit over many years, some 80-odd thousand metres, actually, of diamond drilling, and we've been drilling on and off for the last 2 years. So there has been a lot of that sort of work done. In terms of where we're at in the process, we are completing what we term a preliminary feasibility study. So that's a study to determine the feasibility of the project on a plus or minus 25 to 30% tolerance. That study will be concluded by the end of March of next year, so about 4 months away. And then we'd move into a definitive feasibility study, which looks to narrow the parameters and reduce the margin for error. So a more detailed study that, again, costs more money to put in place. That would take us another year to get that organised and completed. And then you move into a financing stage and then a building stage before you actually start to mine and produce. Yeah, running parallel with that, you've got your permits and things. So from the Czech law perspective, Our next milestone is what we call a preliminary mining permit. And once we've concluded the PFS and our environmental work, which we've all started, then we go into applying for that license. There are other permits we have to put in place in terms of reaccessing the underground operations and dewatering. There's a bit of, you know, there's a fair bit of water in the mine, so we would be dewatering, getting that all out. And all those environmental studies are very important to ensure that it's going to be low impact and, you know, from a visual point of view, from a noise point of view, all of those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I understand you're doing lots of feasibility studies there necessary to get the finance and the money together. But from a sort of broad ballpark sort of perspective, you know how much ore is there, basically. You know, probably you've got a fair idea of what the costs of getting it out are, and you know what the current price of lithium is. So looking at those three basic factors, I mean, you're fairly confident you can make a go of this.
Well, certainly we are, given the current lithium price or lithium carbonate price, and also the current tin price, which is important for us. Sinovitz is a very large deposit, but it's also low grade. It needs strong metal prices, and it needs, you know, mining methods to be sound and for the technology to be right on the ball, et cetera, to keep the overall cost down because it is low grade. But, you know, the market for lithium itself is compelling. You know, there seems to be a lot of demand in the near term, mainly driven in Europe by the electric vehicle industry. And that is a big part of the strategy for us, you know, EVs, particularly in Germany, and I believe in the Czech Republic within time. You know, the automotive industry is a very important one within the Czech Republic. And those things are driving the lithium price, there's no doubt. The tin, as I say, is important because it's a byproduct, and it provides a byproduct credit for us, which has the effect of lowering our overall cost of production of lithium. But, you know, we do need both of those prices to stay nice and strong for us, you know, during the build period, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I read somewhere that the lithium prices are going up by 10-20% a year. So, I mean, I don't know what time frame you could think you could start production, but I presume the lithium and maybe tin prices as well might be even stronger by the time you realistically might be able to start.
Well, they certainly have been going up by the orders of the magnitude you're speaking about. That won't continue, obviously. Nothing can go up by those numbers year on year, you know, ad infinitum. So it will definitely level out. What happens is when the price of any metal goes up, it encourages more people to bring projects on. Lithium is not an uncommon metal. And, you know, people are looking to develop other projects. So what that'll do is bring more supply on and stabilise the price. So certainly for the next 2 or 3 years, I think we'll have good growth in the price of lithium compounds. But I think after that, it will start to stabilise. And that's about the time out that we're looking before we're likely to be getting into production at Sinovitz.
Mm-hmm. But one of, as you suggested earlier, one of the advantages here is if you mine this, and you probably process it locally, I should ask you about that, but basically this is on the doorstep for much of the European car market.
That is exactly right. And yes, we are looking to process it locally. The plan at this point in time for the PFS is that we would do the first stage of processing up on the mountain there at Sinovitz, but then we would be piping a concentrate through a slurry pipe down into the more industrial area down in the valley and building a lithium carbonate plant down there. We're very keen to value add within the Czech Republic, and, you know, there is expertise within the country to assist us in doing that. And, you know, we would hope that we're then in a position to deliver product into the entire European electric vehicle market for many years to come. You know, there are battery plants within reasonable proximity. There's quite a large one that Daimler has in Dresden, which is obviously not very far away. We've got LG Chemicals building one in Poland, Samsung building one in Hungary and one in Vienna. So, you know, the demand for EVs, the demand for lithium-ion batteries in Europe is increasing. And, you know, you have very various countries now talking about banning petrol and diesel cars from their roads from 2025 and some from 2030. So I think the demand for EVs is going to continue, and I think that'll be very important for the Czech Republic.
The mayor of the local area, Duby, Petr Pipal, is very much in favour of the mining project.
Na Cínovci jsou převážně chataři, jako chalupáři, jako pro rekreační.
There are mostly people owning holiday homes and chalets at Cínovec. They are mostly weekend visitors. There are 66 people living there all the time. We have not so far seen any negative reaction from these people. We are making everything public. They know about these activities, which we cover in the monthly town newspaper. So far, we have not registered any negative viewpoint from local people.
Takže zatím jsme nezaregistrovali negativní stanoviska lidí.
For the town, the renewal of mining activities could mean an annual payment of around 25 to 30 million crowns to the council coffers, and it's hoped that dozens of local jobs would also be created. That feature by myself, Chris Johnston, was first broadcast at the end of last year. And that just about rounds it up from us. If you've any comments about today's programme, then simply send them to us. You can contact us by email at radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be extremely happy to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnston, goodbye.